Oh, we got the preview. Yeah.
Like, sorry, Louis, did you bolt up the swing?
I did. I tightened up with the Anarchy. So sorted. Tobes was you're great.
So Tobes, I just saw him coming out of that room, and he just had that gag ball in his mouth.
He's just taking it out now. Yeah. That's why you can hear him. So he's a very passionate lover.
Sorry, but with person A, who shall not be named.
I lost my person B. According to them, I was a mistake. It was great. It's been a great week for me. Yeah.
What, your dad said that, or she said that?
I mean, my dad said that about me anyway. Oh. He's been telling me that for years, constantly.
Who's this? Really?
Yeah, Mario.
That he's a mistake.
No, I know Mario's.
Oh, person B.
Yes. It's been a hard week.
It was the birdie.
Are we recording? What is this?
Yeah, I know, yes. I've had such a hard week. It's fine.
What have you boys been up to since Monday?
In the sex swing, to be honest, haven't they?
Since Monday? What have I done since Monday?
Yeah, this is Thursday now, isn't it? Obviously.
Just the...
People...
Oh, of course.
We're obviously not recording this on the same day as our review.
Well,
the
Champions League. Cool, that was good.
Yeah, interesting results. Arsenal lost again.
Yeah, to Sevilla. We beat them 4-0 away. Giroud got 4. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Lovely. Lamps was manager.
Yeah. He was.
Was that the...
No, he was. It was just before, just before he got the boot, yeah.
Yeah, because was it Tuchel's first Champions League game was when Giroud scored the bicycle
Frank
kick,
took the group stage.
Yeah, Atletico, yeah.
Frank took the group stage and Tuchel took knockouts.
And then the rest is history. Where's your European Cup? Have that. Anyway, enough talking about Europe and all that.
I reckon Ten Hag might be gone after that loss again, though.
Oh, yeah.
Keep him. We want you to
stay. I want him to stay. I want him to go on a little Ole Gunnar Solskjaer run, keep his job.
Do you reckon, like, because obviously bald managers' heads under football lights are very, very shiny regardless. But his is just like extra shiny. Do you reckon he's Mr. Sheen? It's just so shiny.
Yeah, or one of those like pool cues. Like, you know, the chalk.
Yeah, but then his head would be blue.
Yeah. Someone needs to chalk his head.
Yeah, that would be fun. Or just use him as on the pool table.
He'd make a great... He'd be a very, very robust pool cue, wouldn't he? Like, he's constantly very sort of...
Or he could be one of the balls. He could be the white ball.
Yeah.
Louis sent me a clip on Instagram...
This is funny as shit. It's from the alien clip you showed me.
It's from this thing called the Fan Bus. I was like, what the hell is this?
These are weird looking guys. Yeah,
isn't it? Guess what? Listen to this story. It's absolutely nuts. This is ridiculous. Play it.
Are we really giving Baby Alien free advertising?
It's not Baby Alien. It's someone
who's
else.
Baby Alien?
This is funny. It's the guy.
You don't want to know who Baby Alien is.
So this is.
You don't want to watch that.
Play this clip. It's not. It's not Baby Alien. It's literally this. This is ridiculous.
Hey. How did this happen?
So I was visiting my grandpa at the nursing home, mm-hmm. and he was there. They were like, I guess, roommates or whatever, and my grandpa was out with his doctor at the time. And so I was just waiting for him to come back, and I bent over to grab something, and his roommates... And at first, I was like freaked out because he's so old, but...
Basically, what happened was she went to visit her granddad.
Right.
He left the room. And she bent over and his roommate slapped her ass, and then she went, actually, you're really hard. So she rode him.
Yeah, and then he was in a wheelchair.
Fucking hell. What a day at the retirement home.
This is content that I wasn't privy to until I met Louis. And now I'm like, oh, this is what so I use the internet for music and football.
You make it sound like I'm very seedy.
I don't use it for anything else.
I am
now. He ruins my algorithm. Now I'm getting the only bus.
Hang on, Gary. You're throwing me under the bus here. Some of the shit you send me, in fact, all the shit you send me is outrageous.
And Tobes gets it now.
Yeah, I send Gary a lot of Theo Von and a lot of bad things.
Are we going to introduce Theo Von now?
He introduced me to him. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he's jokes, isn't he? And then I like Andrew Santino and Bobby Lee.
Oh,
I send a lot.
Is that the ginger geezer?
One kakatai.
Yeah.
Two kakatai.
Yeah, he's funny, that geezer.
They're good.
Oh, so who is Theo?
Theo's the one that's like...
Who is he?
He's that southern guy with the mullet. He's just a stand-up comedian.
Right.
But he just does a lot of he does like podcasts on his own, just waffling.
Really?
He's really funny. Yeah.
Do you think we could be as good as... Well, I reckon I could be
You need the accent. He's got, I think, there's a lot of strings to his bow,
like,
you know?
Put it straight, like, the way he talks, if he was just like had a pretty standard American voice or was a standard British, it wouldn't be as funny.
Yeah.
It's the fact that he's like got that redneck accent. It's just
I was walking down the street and I grabbed a bad pussy.
It's just so funny. It's random shit he comes out with.
We don't know where his brain's going. That's what's quite fun about watching him.
Should we get into some football?
Should we shout?
I know I've polluted your feed with nonsense.
But if we're being honest, Gary, like
that is exactly what we do.
We went off on pasta shapes for about 10 minutes last week. I had some pasta this week, by the way. I found some tortelloni again. Got the proper brand. By the way, I just want to say one thing. There's two brands you can only get, right? Checo and Barilla. That's it. None of the other ones. That's it. Those are the two.
What about M&S fresh pasta? That's what I get.
I mean, you know.
Don't have any of this cardboard nonsense.
It's not cardboard, but the proper stuff.
Nah, not the stuff that it takes like 12 minutes to cook.
Oh, no, 3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes fresh from the fridge, mate. That's what I like.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just like the tortellini packs they do. Oh, they're like 3 minutes. And
those tortellini.
But when it's the fresh stuff, right?
They're good.
You're vile. That's not how you're supposed to eat tortellini. Tortellini is...
Mate, you only eat it the way you want to eat it. This is the thing of Italy. Mm. It's what does my head in about Italy.
And he's Lee Smith. He's not even Italian either.
I know. So. We just had a fry-up with him.
Yeah.
Sorry. Again, on Thursday, we had a fry-up with him.
On Monday, we had it with him.
And the thing is, it's like... So, my mate in Italy, Tony, I'm like, I'm going to go get a coffee. You're not going to get one. It's 3 o'clock. What do you want to have a coffee for now? Because I want to have a coffee. Nah, you can't. They're not going to let you have it. I'm like, nah, fuck off. Going to the cafe. Yeah, I'll get a latte macchiato. No.
Yeah, but your mate's right up. He's up by Como and stuff, isn't he? They're all like that.
And they're like, nah. I'm like,
there's a real sense of...
Mate, I, as your customer, is going to pay you €3, one, a latte macchiato. Yeah. And the guy went, okay. And I sat down, came over, shot of espresso. And I went, that's not a latte macchiato. And he went, doesn't matter. This time, you can't have that. What do you want all the milk for? It's bad for your belly. I was like, bad for my belly? You eat dinner at 11 o'clock, mate.
Mm.
That's bad for your indigestion. That's bad for your bloody metabolism. No, you can't have milk and coffee at this time. I was like, it's just nuts. And then, the best one, just got back from America. Beautiful. Being in Little Italy, eating all this amazing food. Getting the gabagool, and I go to
copper, but yeah, okay.
I go to where?
It's not called gabagool. This does my.
It's the gabagool.
I've got the Tobes's got the gabagool right there next to him.
I've got a cigar.
He's got the gabagool, and so I send this stuff to my mate Tony. He's like, I'm offended by the way they speak Italian. He's like, it's not even Italian.
It's not.
No,
it's not Italian.
It
fucking isn't.
They get very angry for it. It's very angry over a load of just... They make pasta and pizza. It's not a big deal.
Beat this, Tobes. You know? So I go into Gusta, or what's it? Gusta? Whatever it's called.
You asked for a chicken palm.
So I'm sat there and she's like, what do you want? Good. I went, oh, I got chicken palm. She's like, as I go at him in Italian and walks off. And I was like, what's wrong? She's not serving you that.
Okay, that's not what happened.
Yeah, it is.
That is not what happened.
I want a chicken palm.
I never go back there. I'm like... Yeah, I just want some good food.
I just want my food that I want.
Yeah.
I don't want you to tell me what I kind of can.
And if you don't like it, then I'll...
Because the chicken...
I'll go get my gabagool somewhere else.
You went to an Italian cafe and you asked for a chicken parm, which isn't Italian. This is what I mean. It's like people say garlic bread.
It's Italian-American.
I can't do this. You know, I couldn't do it. I want to have a word, right? When we're in the US again next time... I want to go and speak to those guys that are growing up Italian podcast. Because they bang on about, oh, they're Italian. They're fucking not. Because all it is, they bang on about Italian-American stuff. And they actually do stuff with proper Italians. And the proper Italians lose their shit because they don't have a fucking clue. Just because they go to Naples once a year. Piss off.
Tom is missing Prime Lee Smith.
Oh, this my is God. Like this
one
is...
of the most English rants about being Italian I've ever heard.
Look, imagine if you went into the sandwich bar and said to them... I want a fry up, and they went.
You went in, I want some funky meatballs, yeah?
If I went into a cafe and I got asked to ask for a fry up, that's what they make there.
It's called all day, it's called breakfast, right?
This is sandwiches, technically.
Yeah, so if you went in and went, I want a fry up, and they went, nah, it's 2 o'clock, mate.
yeah, and you went, but I would quite like one. You says you do one. Yeah, but that's not bad. It's not good for you, is it?
You don't have it this time of day.
They have all day breakfast out front written, so I don't have that problem.
It's breakfast, mate. Just eat what you want when you want.
Yeah.
But they don't okay, but what I'm trying to say is you went to someone which doesn't have chicken parm. Doesn't make chicken parm offended.
Sorry, we don't do that, but this is very similar. That's what I'd have said, customer service. Mm. Rather than being offended of like, I invented food for all sorts of food and you've got to eat the food I like. And I'm like, you know.
Yeah, I'm not, listen.
I'm against this.
I'm not going to say, look, the English cuisine gets shat on way too much. Roasts are great. Full Englishes are great.
Fish and chips pie
mash,
good.
Fish and chip, you know, great, right? But let's be honest, best cuisine in the world is Italian food.
No, it's not. It's not even close either.
It absolutely
is. It's not. Well, no. It's pizza and pasta. It's not.
There's more to it than that.
The best food in the world, in my opinion, is Italian.
Greek food, I prefer.
Italian American.
I like a bit of dirty American food as well.
The penne alla vodka we had was quite nice.
Italians and Americans do it way better than the Italians in Italy.
That's why they all die earlier in their cholesterol.
Well, I like the fact that it goes a bit more American. I quite like greasy food in that sense. But like actual Greek food, I do like a lot.
Like when they get upset, if you're like, let's get a bit of chicken in my pasta. Nah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't just want sauce and cheese.
I want some chicken in there. No. Oh, what's going on? You know what, right? You've got to watch it in The Sopranos, because when they go over there to Naples and Paulie's like, what's some gravy? And they're like having a go at him. Like, we're not doing this for you. It's so funny. Because Paulie's like, I'm going back to the motherland and all this. And he thinks it's amazing. He gets there and he's like, I hate it. And then when he gets back, he's like, yeah, they wouldn't even give me any fucking gravy on my pasta.
It's not fucking gravy either. That's what I mean about the Yanks. Fucking gravy. It's not gravy. Gravy is something you put on a roast dinner. That's a tomato sauce. Shut up.
I love it.
I hate it.
I don't know.
They do my head in. I can't.
It's like too much pride and tradition. Sometimes it's nice to have a bit of dirt in there. It's like a Domino. Sometimes I prefer. I want a Domino over an authentic pizza.
I'll draw the line there.
No, sometimes I want like some silly.
So I'll tell you what's better though. Is you want
Chicago deep dish and stuff like that. I'd quite like to go out to America and have like those ones.
I'd like to try
pizza. Pizza in America.
Yeah, I bet.
Is better than pizza in Italy.
So, by the way,
I'm not surprised. Those big New York slices.
When me and you went out,
I
missed out on Grimaldi's pizza for you. That's how brave I am.
I've got the video of him. I'm making a video of McDougal Street, and all I can hear in the background ruined it.
Save me a few slices of that then, yeah?
I got it. I'm going to find it. Yeah, yeah. Cheers, Mum. I'll have the pizza. You don't carry on talking.
I went out with him, came back.
This is in America. So you're contesting what food is at home.
No. Okay, so I was out for Christmas in the US, in New York. Garage had to be there at the same time.
Oh, right.
So Boxing Day, he took me out for my birthday. We went out. And then basically my family had gone to Grimaldi's, which is the best pizza in New York or Brooklyn. It's the best pizza. And they basically saved me a few slices. I went out with him. I was wolfing down a cold pizza and a cannolo, singular. I was wolfing that down in a taxi on the way back to Newark. It was fucking great. And then I had to eat it all before I got through security. It was a challenge. I accepted it and I absolutely fucking smashed it out of the park. And then Gary's still trying to find this clip. Is that it? Gary wants to do clips. I've got a video of him going nuts to the Bruce Springsteen tribute band.
Yeah. There we go.
It's impressive.
What, there's a background?
Here we go.
Nice.
Just going to smash a couple of slices when I get back later. That's going to be class. I'm making this beautiful video. Because we're on when,
cut it, yeah, cut it out.
When you're in the village, when you're it's not McDougal Street, it's one over. But when you're on the corner of Bleecker, anyway, in between Bleecker and Fourth, you can see One World Trade Center, Freedom Tower, and when you turn round, you see the Empire State, right? Because Empire State's up on 34th, so you're like 30 blocks down, but because you're in between them and you can see it. And I was like, I made this video loads of times, and I'm off my face. I'm like, Chelsea, Bruce. Just been to see a Bruce Springsteen tribute act. I slept in the car at night because I got so wasted. And I do that often. And I was filming it and all he's going on about is, two slices of pizza. And it was only the next day I watched it. I was like, look at this lovely video. You've got the sounds of the city. And all we can hear is, that'd be quality. Yeah, two slices of pizza. What a mug.
It was great pizza. I want to go back again.
So look, Tobes, look, this is the video. Look, there's the beautiful Freedom Tower.
Yeah, a couple of slices of pizza, please, there, mate.
And all that was going on in the background. And
all you can hear is Louis, because look at a beautiful Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Louis just ruined it.
Atrocious.
It was a cold night as well.
It was Baltic.
It was minus, so...
Yeah, minus 20. Although, yeah. That's when I kind of... I haven't been in New York. I'd like to go at Christmas.
New York at Christmas.
If you want to go, you want to go then.
Yeah, it was good. Because, like you were saying, we just happened to be there. And so we went out and had some drinks and stuff. And then we were going to go ice skating, but it was a four-hour queue. Oh, and then we couldn't get into the... What's the hotel on the corner?
Oh, the one from Home Alone.
Why is my mind?
That was the one from Home Alone.
Yeah, so we couldn't, because we wanted to go get cocktails in there. Right. There was a few of us. There was Louis, me, Adam, and Karina, right? And then we ended up going down to Little Italy because Karina's mate owned this restaurant.
And I hadn't
that
been
was
there
quality
ever.
In
it
there.
It was a great restaurant. It was
and
really
that's where
nice.
We got Louis' Bada Bing t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then we went to some dive bars, and then we went to Cafe Wild to watch this band called Tramps Like Us.
I got a couple of other bartenders' numbers in the bars as well.
Follow up on it?
She loved me. I did, actually. She's great. I actually spoke to her the other day.
Did
great.
You?
I did. Dropped her a line, had a little chat. Mm. Apparently, I still sound like I should be on Love Island. Don't know why.
Oh, that's right. That's what she said. She's like, oh my God, are you on Love Island?
Yeah. And then I had one. That's the Shepherd's Bush story I told you.
Mm.
That happened in the bar after the Cafe.
Yeah, so we went to Cafe Wah, watched this Springsteen tribute act, and then which was quality.
It was great, great night.
And we're right on the. It's only a small venue. It's like 200 people. We're right on the stage.
It's one of the most famous venues in the world. Actually, and, you're underplaying it. You need to say what the Cafe Wah is.
Basically, it's an old venue that in the 50s opened in the 50s, and then. Used to have like a lot of the Beat Generation go there. So like Jack Kerouac, who just go and hang out there, and Allen Ginsberg, the poet, would go there and recite poetry and stuff. And then Bob Dylan played there. Jimi Hendrix played there. Bruce Springsteen played there.
Right.
But obviously, way before these guys were famous. But that whole Greenwich Village scene is what it was about, right? All these little cafes, and there were there was the Gaslight around the corner. People were playing there. I might be talking. Do you know the Beat Generation of writers and stuff? Yeah.
A bit.
Yeah, so like all those guys, like especially Kerouac, right? When he was writing On the Road, was hanging around there. When did he release On the Road? It was like 1957 or something. And incredible book. Amazing, right?
Great book.
And he became like the voice of that generation. And then what happened? He got so famous that he ended up having to go and hide. And he went and hid in Big Sur in California and then wrote the book Big Sur, right? Absolutely amazing. And anyway, to this venue, I always go there. And I went to see, so you go, they've got a house band and stuff. Anyway, we see this Springsteen tribute act. And then we go over the road to the McDougal Ale House, where I always go after. And when I get in there, I dominate the jukebox.
Yeah, it was bad. I tried to put something on, he actually screamed at me.
Yeah,
I was
what are you doing?
Terrified.
So what I do is I get all my $20.
Quickly queue them all on.
Yeah, put them on. Because I'm like, you're in the village, so you're only allowed to listen to Bob Dylan in here.
Right.
So put Bob Dylan on everywhere. And then there's a song called Positively Swore Street, which was never on an album. But the song, so it came out, I think it was 1965, and the song is about that whole area, right? And it's about people being fake and stuff. You know, like it starts off where it says, you've got a lot of nerve to say you are my friend. It's basically people that are just like all facing it. And basically, if Instagram existed in the 60s, he's talking
right,
about
okay.
The Instagrammers where you're like, mate, you're just all about you, right? People hanging off his coattails, effectively. So I had that on in there, and I was playing Paul off my face, like, Chelsea.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Everyone comes up, starts spilling in from Cafe Wah because we got out early because I was like, we want to get over there, get the best spot in the bar. And then remember, we start chatting to those Brummies.
Yeah, those Brummies.
And the guy comes over and he's got like ginger curly hair like Robert Plant, but it's ginger. And he's there going, oh, you're that dude who was at the front singing all the songs and all that. And anyway, come June, I'm at Villa Park walking along. In the pit, and this geezer comes up going, "What are you, mate?" I was like, "Oh, Neil!" It was a geezer from Cafe Wild bumped into him at the Bruce Springsteen.
That's mad.
Those two went off in the corner, and I had two American girls convinced I was from Queens.
He went and played darts.
I went and played darts with them, and I had to tell them where I was from. They didn't believe me.
Like,
I had a boyfriend.
You gotta be from Queens.
You're from Queens. Like, I had a boyfriend when I was living in London, right? He was in Shepherd's Bush. I was like, fucking where? Where? This is what I mean. The Americans, the Italian-Americans, like, listen, I'm sure there'll be Americans, Italian-Americans that listen to us. I know that the London's Blue Boys listen, so we're not talking about you. I love you guys. Apart from Nick. Nick, you can go fuck yourself. But, with all of that.
Nick's from Kansas.
Yeah, I know. Nick's back. He is Ted Lasso.
I've only been Miami, and that was very Spanish speaking anyway.
I am really looking forward
to a lot of Colombians in Miami.
Yes.
I'm going to Miami.
A lot of plastic work in Miami as well.
You know why?
Fun place, mate.
They go to Colombia to get it done.
Yeah.
Colombia is like...
To get the arse injections.
It's like the Turkey.
You know how many people die of like arse injections?
A lot.
From that. It's a lot of people.
Did you get your calves injected, or is that just like pure gym work?
It's natural.
They are massive, aren't they?
It's not gym work. I think it's being like a fat kid having to support weight when I'm short when I was younger, and just football. I think it's that.
Well, you've got Jack Grealish calves, have you?
Mm.
Yeah, look at them.
Mine are nice and slender.
They're real.
Mine are really small. And
yeah, you've got like.
So I've got nice legs.
And there's me. Just
get me in a pair of heels.
Just stunning.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I'd look horrendous if I was a girl with like massive calves.
Would you be like that bird?
Yeah, I'd be like trousers at all time. I'd be like,
what's that bird's name? I'm not your average 10.
One you sent me. The
fucking, what's her name? What's a Gorlock destroyer of worlds?
I don't know. It's the way that video of the guy who's got his mask. It's like, I'm not your average 10. Yes. You know, you can take the mask off if you want. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck no. It runs off. Yeah, just like, not having it. It's brilliant.
Or it's when those girls are speaking, whatever, and it keeps going across, and then it's like, I am Optimus Prime.
We need to talk about some football, because this has been running for 20
minutes.
So Brentford.
Should we just quickly skim over that and then get it done with? Come on.
Can I mean,
Tom, just if Tom is listening, you've got a lot to live up to now, mate.
He's got to tell us about which, if he was Big Spoon or Little Spoon with Jakob Kjellberg.
Well, it's clearly the Little Spoon.
I mean, I don't know. Like, Tommy's like quite tall, isn't he? He's like a, you know, he's he's had a fantastic haircut recently. So maybe Jakob might look at him.
What's he had? Short back and sides?
No, he had enough. Before he went on holiday, he went somewhere and got it cut.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, what did he get?
Before, he had a barber that kind of did it wrong. And then he's gone somewhere else to get it fixed.
No, he didn't. Shut up.
I bet he had to pay like 30 quid for the restyle as well. Whatever you come in, if it's a restyle, it's extra 30 quid, mate.
No. Do you know what happened? Right, I cut his hair and I was thinking, oh, do you know what? Maybe he's gonna do me a job. There, he's like, yeah, thanks, Lou. See you later. I was gone. Didn't even get a tip. Didn't even get anything.
You did offer him it for free.
Did I?
Yeah, you said you want a haircut.
Do you want a haircut?
Oh, that's Louis' fault.
That's my fault. It's bad sales.
It's bad business.
That is bad for me. That's probably why, yeah.
So but Brentford, 12:30 kickoff. My mate Cam is in town for it.
Yeah, I mean, you two at the end of the review were so confident we're going to beat them.
Yeah, we're going to
Beat them. We're going to slap them up.
They feel like Everton.
I reckon we're going to win this 5-0.
Really?
I've gone a bit more precautious. I will go with 3-0 or 4-1, like around that.
I think we're going to give them a pasting.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Play him off the park.
Yep.
Madrid, Cole Palmer. He's juice. We're going to sort him right out.
No, I agree.
Out.
We've got a whole week to go get that Arsenal draw out your systems. Play angry, but play composed and angry.
I mean,
just play how they've been playing the last few weeks. They'll batter them.
I'm intrigued what the odds are.
In all honesty, they could have played any team in that first set. I know the mistake changes the game. The first 70 minutes against Arsenal, they could have been playing anyone and they had been winning that game.
Yeah. I think we're going to give Brentford a right pasting. And they need one from us as well.
Yeah, we haven't won at the Bridge against Brentford since. Well, were they even up when we did that? Were they up in the 2021 season?
They beat. Remember when Tuchel's manager beat us 4-1?
Yeah, I was at that when Rudiger scored. Rudiger had about 50 games in a row shooting from outside the box.
What a waste of space!
And then the one time he actually scored it, we end up losing 4-1.
Hang on, you don't like Rudiger?
Oh, I loved Rudy. Under Tuchel, Rudy was a monster.
He was just Kovacic at the back. Everyone liked him because he got the ball and he ran with it.
No, but he was like, gave it a bit, was winding up Suarez. No, he was brilliant. And that tackle he made on Foden in the Champions League final, he was unreal under Tuchel. I won't have that. I won't have Rudy Sander. I'd have him back, mate. I loved him.
Do not like him. Don't like him.
Him and Kovacic, I never really quite got where you don't like them. I never understood it.
Well, I'll tell you off mic why I don't like him.
Oh, there we go. We'll find out afterwards. But you're not going to hear that. We have that off mic.
But yeah, we lost that 4-1. Last year was 2-0.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what happened. But
no, remember, we beat them 1-0 when Chilwell scored that screamer.
And Mendy had a really good game.
That was two... You know what? That game was 2 years ago on Sunday, the 22nd of October.
Yeah,
I went to a Halloween party after the game. So
I was getting my TV fitted. That's why I remember that day.
Lovely goal. I was in Switzerland at the Golden Tracks, which is the award ceremony for European athletics. Yeah, and I was with Jakob Ingebrigtsen watching the game.
Who's Jakob Ingebrigtsen?
Only the finest middle distance runner of his time.
I don't really follow athletics.
He must be 22 now? He's Norwegian. Incredible.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they've got a lot of athletes coming out of Norwegians.
Yeah. I mean,
something in the water. So what's your thoughts ahead of Brentford anyway, Louis?
I'm always a pessimist. I'm always on edge.
I spoke about this with Kerry. We were like, Louis worries too much.
Yeah, me and Tom have mentioned that. It sometimes comes on the pod. We've played really well, and it's
We won 6-0, but we could have lost 7-6.
This sums up in the preview. Me and Tom were going, look at Mudrick. He's playing games. He's cooking us. Oh, but it's only Malta. And then against Arsenal, yeah, it was a cross, but he cooked. He's just cooking.
I caveat. You're making it sound like I'm just saying he's crap. I caveated it and I said he's playing really well. He's getting his confidence. That's absolutely fantastic. However, I think a lot of people are getting a bit overexcited about the goal against Malta. But look, that's just my opinion. I don't like to. But get the point is,
the point is, there's always a but, and there doesn't need to always be a but. Sometimes it's just, let's just be complimentary.
The thing is that players need games like that, though, you know?
Yeah,
and they need to do it. Because if he didn't do it again, and it's always, the flip side of it is that it's almost like it's a no-win situation for him, right? He's in this catch-22 because if he plays well against Malta, it's like, yeah, it's only Malta. But if he didn't, it'd get caned for him.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, well, you've got to give him a chance. And look, you can't get carried away. We can go, look, he's just done that. So you know he's got it in his locker. And now you're seeing it more and more, right? This isn't just a does it and then 6 weeks later turns up and does it again. He's doing it.
We can work out at the moment, yeah.
And look, the goal against Arsenal, go back to that. He didn't mean to do it. But here's the thing. He's putting himself in positions where stuff like that is starting to happen.
Yeah, I was more impressed by the fact that he caused the pen. Like, he makes that run and goes and wins that header and causes the pen. Like, that was his role more in that goal than it was the second. Yeah, the second hits his goal, but he had a hand in both. Like, without someone making that run on the end of Sterling's cross or whatever, you're not getting that goal.
He's been superb.
He's doing an Ivanovic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I think... Look, Brentford's going to be an interesting one. I think that's all I'm going to say. They're a very, very good side.
We're going to slap them up.
Do you think Neil Mopay is going to be a big threat up front, is he?
No, but Mbeumo will be.
Cucurella and Cole will just get out.
I think we'll have to see. It's the physicality of them, which I think is...
But Tony, they don't have the same level. Like, Everton slapped them up at their ground the other week. They're not doing as well as people think this season. Like I said, they're 1-7?
One win in seven, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was last week
5-0 Chelsea. What's your prediction? Do you do predictions?
We do.
We do, but we save it for the Premier League predictions episode.
Well, we're going to get it out earlier.
I've gone 4-1. Reverse of our loss the other year.
I'll go 3-1.
To Brentford?
No, to us.
Oh, I thought you were being ultra pessimistic.
Nah, 3-1 to us, that's what I reckon. But yeah, I mean, that's the Brentford preview where we barely spoke about Brentford. What's going to be this one?
Not much has happened between Monday to Thursday in regards to Brentford, so we can't really comment on it.
And really, with Chelsea, you know, they're just training, they're doing their thing.
Got their head down.
And Kunku's a few more days down the line of his rehab and whatnot.
Yeah, so let's see. Yeah, guys.
So what's the... Can we talk about the team we'd like to see?
Yes, absolutely.
What's the team you'd like to see, Tobes?
I think, depending on how he's trained this week, I might start Reece, but I don't feel like Gusto warrants being dropped, other than the fact that the second goal was a bit on him for the Arsenal game. But I want to see Reece James playing football. If Reece James is available, I want to see him playing. A bit like you said about Chilwell earlier. I'd like that. Play Sanchez, get out your system, draw a line under it. Don't want to see any of that bollocks again. If De Zassi's back...
He was on the bench, wasn't he, against Arsenal?
He was, but because he's got a bad toe or something. I don't know. I'd be okay with playing... It's hard to... I'm saying all this as if I think anyone should be dropped after Saturday. In a way, I don't. But at the same time, I think against Brentford, it's going to be a different kind of game. We probably should be playing a striker, like an out-and-out striker. So from that point of view,
yeah, I think. I mean, the midfield stays.
Mate, I actually don't know what team I'd play. You know, like you said, we've some nice problems.
I'd keep James on the bench.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no need
to risk
to
it.
Rush him back.
But do you not want him fit for Newcastle week afterwards?
Yeah, but that's why I wouldn't rush him back.
But don't you think he needs a bit of game time?
No,
to
we'd give him half an hour.
Yeah, fair enough.
Take Gusto off,
yeah.
Or do what they did at the weekend where they kept Gusto on, they put James in front of him.
Mm.
But keep Gusto in, because look, Gusto's what, 20 as well?
Yeah, he's a good player.
You know, he's making the mistakes of a 20-year-old. John Terry made these mistakes. You know, that's not to say Gusto's going to go and beat John Terry, but it's like, look, it's what happens with youth. That's what you've got to accept with this team. They're going to make those mistakes, right? Mm. But I'd keep it as it was at the weekend.
Yeah.
I'd keep it exactly the way it was. Wouldn't make it any changes. Jackson, you could see he was, because he's got his wrist like wrapped up, right? You could see that he didn't want to put himself about in the way that he had been.
He wasn't. We just lost our intensity, I thought, with both subs, with Madueke and Jackson up top. Yeah, considering the running that Sterling, Mudryk and Palmer have been doing all game, I just thought we really...
And then Enzo and Madueke were getting annoyed with each other because they weren't on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
I think he's a good player, but I think people thought a lot more of him than they should have done last year.
I was going to say, he's another one that's young where I'm like, I need to see more games for him, make a proper...
Yeah, give him more time. Like, Mudryk's had the time where the manager's done incredible things with him. Just graduate. I know, and everyone's poking fun at him, going, oh, I wonder if he's going to play crossbar challenge with him again and all that. It's like, well, whatever he's doing is clearly working. So don't...
considering how much is made of Mudryk in terms of like social media or even, to be honest, just the general media. He has two goals this season with the Fulham goal and the Arsenal goal. I think that's the same amount of goal contributions as Marcus Rashford and more goals than Martinelli this season. And I don't hear anything towards those two players.
I know, but why? Because Mudryk was meant to go to Arsenal... And he went to Chelsea, and now he's at Chelsea, and it fits the narrative of, Chelsea, money.
Mm. Yeah.
They've wasted money.
And then, you know, Marcus Rashford just, you know, gives kids free school meals.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, I look at Mudryk and I just think, why wouldn't anyone give him time? As in...
Yeah, I haven't seen many more explosive players, genuinely. Like, he reminds me of like a young Robin in terms of how quick he is, and he almost is too quick for his own brain in some decision making. Like, doesn't know what to do.
The legs are going too quick. But once you get to an understanding of his body and knows how to manage it,
grows into it.
Yeah, because what I was talking about with him is, I was talking about this with Kerry, is I don't know if you remember when Kane was coming through at Spurs, they had Roberto Soldado up front, right? And Pochettino kept playing him. And he'd play Kane in the Europa League and in the, what was it then? It weren't the Carabao Cup. It was like the... The Capital One Cup, right. And he'd be playing him in that. And everyone was like, oh, why aren't you playing this young kid who's scoring all the goals? And I can't remember the exact quote, but basically, to paraphrase, it was like, he's not ready yet. I'll know when he's ready, but you want me to play him because he's English, but I'm going to play him when he's ready.
Mm.
And then, it must have been 3 or 4 months later, Pochettino had carried on doing what he was doing on the training ground. And Kane became Kane. And I look at Mudryk now, he's nowhere near getting to that level yet.
Mm.
But what he has done with him, took him, didn't have the full pre-season with him because he's under 21s and then he had the little niggly injury and stuff. But just gradually did a little bit, pulled him back, did a little bit, pulled him back. And now you look at him. Yeah. Starting, you know, what I liked is even with the Burnley game, when he had a little niggle, they didn't put him in. They kept him off because they were like, we don't need to play you. And you not being completely fit and comfortable in your body, you're not going to play the way you want to play. And it's going to damage your confidence a bit. So we'll pull you out of the firing line and then we'll bring you on. And then he starts against Arsenal and he was amazing. Like, he tore Ben White a new one.
It wasn't just that, though, that was quite different about this. Like, we've seen some central returns going forward. What I really liked was actually the job he was doing helping Cucurella with Saka. It's just not easy to do.
Did you know?
He was working his arse.
Saka got man of the match.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that. Well, that's what they are watching. I think wasn't that the Premier League? Like, doesn't that a fan? Isn't that a fan vote?
Yeah, I was just like, the guy was completely anonymous.
I mean, second half he played a lot better.
No, second half he played better. He whipped the ball into the goal. Yeah.
But what else? I'd say Gallagher was better than him.
Palmer was better.
Palmer was juice all game. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He was way better than him. He was my man in the match.
Yeah, same.
He was excellent. Yeah, but this is it. I mean, I wouldn't change anything for that 11 against Brentford because everything we've said. I think I'd like to see one game. Maybe this could be the one. Because one thing with Mudryk, which I a bit like, was like that decision in the Arsenal game to change the front three. I would have just let Mudryk, Sterling, and Palmer see it out.
Yeah, they were just playing so well.
I want to see, because Mudrick's yet to get 90 minutes for us. I want to see him get a full 90. That would be ideal. But yeah, I mean,
I'm going to back him to score.
Yeah, you backing Mudrick to score?
Yeah, all this talk has made me think he's going to bag another goal, you know.
We'll have to see.
Crash one in.
Oh, that's very Mudrick, isn't it?
Well, look, you look at the two goals he scored. They haven't been sit. It's not like he's scoring tap-ins. The goal against Fulham was beautiful.
Yeah.
Instinctive, and he's playing on instinct now. The one against Arsenal, it was luck. But like I say, he's putting himself in positions to make the most of that luck.
And the one against Malta actually was a screamer. Yeah, like, he's so... He's cooking.
Shades. The Malta goal was shades of Brighton in pre-season in Philly.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. When him and Jackson play, they seem to have a bit of a natural understanding. Yeah. You know, it's like the way they link up and the way Jackson is happy to be a pivot for him and stuff.
Mm. No, we're seeing a lot of nice patterns from all these lot. And like when Nkunku comes back, obviously in pre-season we could see bits with him and Jackson. And yeah, we've got to let it happen. We're on the journey now. Like you said, we're going to have some steps back. Some of these players are going to struggle because they're young. And that's just part of it. But they're going to get there in the end.
It's going to be good. I'm excited. But yeah, I mean, team's out. We've given a preview now. You know our thoughts. The presser has not yet happened, but you know, I don't think we're going to hear.
Poch will be late answer. Again.
Yeah, no shots apparently. There. Have you noticed that, by the way? I've noticed that Simon does it. Simon Johnson, every time Poch does his thing, it's like, Pochettino's late, .. again. Every single week.
I see journalists saying he's late.
That's
managers are late for press conferences. I think they just make it as a joke. They're late all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
I've never known one be on time.
Yeah, no, it's the press is
Pulis.
I know
you mentioned him earlier. He was always on time.
Was always on time. He is just a very organised man, though, isn't he? Like, he's very regimented.
He used to come into press conferences. This is the thing, because what did you say about him? The club.
Well, he used to wear the club shop, didn't he? Like, he was Stoke hat, Stoke
tracksuit.
He used
to come in to the press room and he would stand for the press conference. He wouldn't sit, he would stand. So they're on the stage anyway, so they stood up. So they're looking down, he's looking down at you even more. I don't know if he did it because he didn't want to see.
Like an intimidation thing?
Yeah, I don't know. So I only ever did this him a few times. It was after Chelsea games. And then he'd be in his club suit. But then Pulis would have a Louis Vuitton wash bag.
What?
And I'm like, what? Yeah, you got a Louis, and he'd have it. And, you know, like one of those little wash bags, and he'd put it on the table. And then obviously he'd pick it up and go. And I was like, if you have one of
them. It's not very on brand.
Even I wouldn't have one.
I mean, Tony Pulis strikes me very much as like a, he'd have a Marks and Spencer's black leather one.
Yeah, you know, just like, it's like the job.
Yeah.
Because I don't see
something, or something subtle, you know, not with all the Louis Vuitton branding and all that stuff.
I don't like that sort of stuff.
It was that gaudy. Brownie, goldy Louis Vuitton print.
Or that doesn't seem Pulis.
Like almost like the chess.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I don't know. So that's what he used to do.
What do you reckon Poch
is like? It feels like he's borrowed one of the footballers' ones.
Maybe.
What do you reckon Poch is like? Like, we figured out if he did a barbecue.
Oh, black leather, like, just smart.
Yeah, just straight up, just black one.
No, Poch isn't flash.
I reckon Poch is the guy that, you know, he's quite happy to use the dispenser that's on the wall.
I reckon he's not even just a classy guy. I reckon he's like L'Occitan, Aqua de Parma. I reckon that's what.
No, because the thing is
Lynx.
No, so at Chelsea with the pumps, they have Molten Brown stuff.
Okay, he's using those pumps. Everyone would use those pumps. I don't see why people wouldn't. I'm gonna have. I want to have a show in Chelsea.
Yeah, I don't think he's a wash bag man.
I think he's a wash.
Doesn't wash his
bag. Pochettino's a garlic. I'm sure a wash bag man.
Yeah. I just don't think, you know, like. I got a wash bag, but you know.
To be fair, I think I got gifted one, but I've never used.
I've got a Ted Baker one.
Yeah, I've got a Ted Baker.
Nice and subtle. I don't like loud things.
Yeah. You're all loud enough, mate, aren't you?
Got peacock, no peacocking with
I sort of like, you know, just let my energy do the talking. I don't need to turn up with a Louis Vuitton bag.
Yeah, no, it's quite funny. That's why it's all the people who do rock up with them, you just know it hiding. Like, it's like when a bloke's got like, I don't know, he works as a salesman, but he's got an Audi A-class, like, kitted out car. But you just know he's got it on finance.
I feel like BMWs are normally the one that people go for.
Do you know what it is? If the high performance podcast, it's Gordon Ramsay having £20,000 spare.
That was a very relatable story, didn't you? Yeah.
So relatable. Have you heard that yet?
No, what's that?
So Gordon Ramsay was talking about how he was trying to get a flat, right? And he's trying to be really relatable with everyone. And he was saying, you know, I had £20,000 and I took to Tanya's father to lunch. He said, look, so, you know, you're going to help us with the other £20,000. You're good with that. Yeah, I will. Once you sell your Porsche. I'm like, geezer had a Porsche 911, was talking about trying to get an extra £20,000 so he could get a roof over his head. It's like, it's the best lesson I've ever learned. What, to sell your fucking Porsche? Obviously it was Gordon. Drive a Corsa like everyone else, you know? Like, what's going on?
Didn't he fall out of his wife's dad as well?
He did. There was a court thing, wasn't there? Yeah.
Over the Porsche.
I've had a burger from Gordon Ramsay. Specifically, at a really random, I'm not going to name names. His niece went to my primary school. It was in my sister's year. So there was like a party or something. There was like a barbecue and he was doing the barbecue. So I was like, I can't have been older than like 7 or 8. So like, I had no idea of what I was eating, but like he made the burger and everything.
Was it as good as a McLeod?
It was really good, but I was an 8 year old, so I didn't really I couldn't appreciate it.
Just give me an eagle.
I saw Gordon Ramsay in April this year.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I was in the Savoy. True story.
Nice. He's the chef there, isn't he, at the Savoy?
I think the restaurant there is his. And I don't think he's a chef there anymore. But we were sat having, is it called the Riverside Restaurant or whatever it is? We were sat having lunch with two people that we were trying to get to be in the Blueprint, two high profile people.
Mm.
And I think he said, basically, I think he came over because he saw who we were with. But he came over to the table, walking over, and I was like, I was eating my food. And I was like, oh, look, that's Gordon Ramsay there. And he's carried on walking over. And I thought, what's he doing? And he came right over and looked at me. He went, you all right, mate? I went,
He called you mate?
Yeah. And I went, yeah, all right. And he went, hi, guys. How you doing? Gordon.
Hi, guys. Yes, Gordon. Hi. Nice.
I was like, yeah, all right. And he walked off. I was like, but I think he did it because of who we were with.
Yeah, he's a big Chelsea fan, isn't he? That's it.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was like Rangers. He played for Rangers,
but he's a Chelsea fan. It's like him.
Good
like
man.
Jeremy Clarkson's one of my worst shots to the Chelsea fan. He's from Rotherham, isn't he? He's from Yorkshire. And he's proper Chelsea.
He was out in Porto.
He's proper Chelsea, like sits in Westview with all the other proper Chelsea.
Oh, really?
I'm only joking. I know some good people to sit up there, like Alan the chef.
Oh, Alan the chef.
I thought you sit in Westview.
He sits West Lower.
You sit in the West Stand. Yeah, they're all the same to me, Gary. If you're not in the Matthew Arden.
Oh, here we go. Look, mate, I've gone from the press box to the West Stand. Come on. Yeah. I'm proper Chelsea.
Yeah, you need to come on an away soon.
Oh yeah, we should do an away day. That'd be good.
Yeah, but you won't want to watch a game with me. I'll just sit there quiet.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, but do you not chant when you're there?
I don't.
Do you not?
I don't anymore.
I just sit and watch.
I get that in the West Stand because that's what everyone's doing.
No, but the thing is, it's like this. Is what I always say, I worked on the inside for so long
that you've become
no. It's not that. It's just I like being around it. The day I remember,
but you don't feel like you need to contribute. Atmosphere is not as what it was when I was growing up. No, the bridge isn't what it was.
I like sitting there and observing.
I'm the same now.
But
I can do it all.
But I remember the day that when I realised I couldn't do it anymore was when we won the league against West Brom when Batshuayi scored, right? And it was amazing because after the game, Conte was doing his press conference and Diego Costa and David Luiz were like, "We want to go and party." And they basically came into the press conference and picked Conte up and took him out.
Yeah.
Like, it's over, it's done. And they're like, look, he hasn't done the press conference yet. So then he came back from the changing room and went into another room to do it. And Diego Costa came in.
Oh, when he poured all stuff on him,
didn't
he?
Fire extinguisher.
Mm.
And was going to fire it off at everyone.
Right.
And he was like, and Steve Atkins was like, Diego, no, like you cannot let that off. And I remember if he let it off, it would have gone in my face.
Right.
Because he was there like, oh, you know, messing around. But it was so crazy. But even then, I remember being in the press room, you know, the press seats at West Brom. And that Lamps was on Sky that night because it was a Friday night game. Do you remember? And Lamps was on Sky. And they brought it all down pitch side.
They were on the left. They were like away fans the other side, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And they were away from it and all that. And I was sitting there and I was just watching it. I was just like, I want to be over there. I want to be over there with them. And that's when and even though all that stuff happened after, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm.
And then when I came back for the start of the next season, we played Arsenal, and that was it. I think we drew 1-1 or 0-0, and I was just like, I can't do it.
Luiz got sent off or something, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. And then that's when I was like, yeah, I'm done. And then I had some time off from not going to games, and COVID hit and stuff.
Yeah.
But then when I go back now, I'm just happy to...
Sitting amongst it.
I just sit and watch and just absorb it. I don't really get involved. So if I went away with you, you know, it'd be...
Oh, you wouldn't be giving it to your home fans?
Nah, I'm too old for that.
Newcastle away. That's
I'd be in the pub having a laugh with you after.
And, yeah, you know, yeah.
Giving you some fun, but during the game, because that's the thing as well, when I go to games, I won't drink before the game. Because I want
I want to watch the game. I get that. I'll have one just because I want to watch the game. I need to be able to know what's going on in the game. Then afterwards,
yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
I get that.
But then after I'll have a laugh. But yeah, I find that, you know, I just like to watch it. And sometimes I watch the game where, I don't know if you do it, but this is why I love watching football when you're there. Because when you watch it on TV, you're dictated to by the producer, right?
They'll cut out angles. Where
they follow the ball. Mm. It's like wherever that ball is, you're watching. Mm. So when people watch games on TV and stuff, and they're talking
very
about...
very different, yeah.
Yeah, this guy was great. Why? Because you saw him on the ball. But what about what he was doing there? Because you don't get to see it, mate. Because I feel
less nervous at games than I do on TV. Because I know... Yeah, exactly. You're looking... You're like, oh, no, he has that covered. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, there's... You just have a different level of scope.
And you can tell... Exactly, and this is where I don't... I know we talk about stats because they're important, but I won't pay too much attention to stats because I'm like, I can watch a game and tell you who's having a good game.
Well,
and who isn't having a good
stats
game.
Stats add to what you see. Like, when people just dictate the games...
No, I don't think they do. There's some value in them in terms of understanding what a player's doing or whatever, but I think people overly use stats as a way of trying to talk about football because they don't have the language.
They don't understand football enough.
I was at the Arsenal game. The bloke next to me was doing my head in. So the two seats next to my dad now aren't season ticket anymore. The guy's giving them up. And the guy sat next to me was talking about the centre-backs partnership, the defensive tandem was what he kept calling it, the midfield zone, like all this sort of shit. And I was like, mate, shut up! Like, you don't know what you're talking about. And fucking the field tilt. This is the new XG, isn't it? Fucking field tilt.
This is the thing.
Adds colour. It doesn't show you the game.
The stats. That's for people who one know what those stats really.
They know how to actually use them. Yeah,
and they're the people that have studied it and they're mathematicians and have that analytical brain to go and apply it, right? Mm. And that's what coaches use them for. But then when they've crossed over into the media because people are using them they're trying to be something more.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you speak to people and they're just like, it really frustrates me reading this because you've got people writing about it who aren't qualified to write about it, you know, and they're trying to use it as some sort of authority. Because here's the point as well. When Gary Cahill used to get all the abuse, people would twist his stats. So I used to twist his stats deliberately. To go, well, you want to use him that way, I can use him this way to make out that he's fucking Franz Beckenbauer, which we know he wasn't, but I can make it seem like that, just like you can do a YouTube.
Oh, yeah, whatever agenda you want to run, you will find a stat that can back you up to do that.
Whereas I can go to, and to bring it back to going to games, look, I know we're privileged in that we're able to go, and people that want to go can't for a whole variety of reasons, right? But when I go to games, I just watch it, and like, even at the weekend when we were playing Arsenal, I was really interested to see what Thiago Silva was doing with Colwell because they hadn't really played together so much. So sometimes balls up the other end and I was just watching, you know, and I'm watching the, and especially because I'm on the side of the pitch. You know,
your seats are really good.
Yeah, so Kerry, who I go with, had spent the last 25 years in a Matthew Harding. So he was watching a two-dimensional game.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know, I was like, come, you know, so we moved, I took his wife's season ticket and then he moved to the West Stand because he didn't want to stand up because of the safe standing and all that. And I was like, look, you're going to see a different game because I'd spent 20 years in the press box watching it. And you just see everything, you know, all the patterns and the breakdown and everything. When you get up into the gantry, you see it even better, you know, because you're... I remember I'd sit there with...
that Neville and Tyler, that sort
of... Yeah, yeah. So I'd sit there with them.
Right.
And I'd watch games with them. And I weren't talking to them, conversing with them, but I was listening to what they were doing and you could see what they were doing. But then also what you'd get is in front of you.
The screen, if you needed
that, that's, yeah, but in front of you, that's where the stats guys are.
Right.
So I don't know what system they use now, but it used to be Prozone. So you'd see the Prozone guys, and they'd be doing all the data points, and you'd see it, and they would be in their like club tracksuit. So it'd be Chelsea, and then you'd have down the other end be the opposition guys and stuff, and you'd see him implementing it. So you see, you understand that game. So then now where I sit and I watch the game, Kerry, you know, sees a different game to what he did when he was in MHL, right?
Mm.
And so yeah, I watch the games, and I'm just, and the good thing is you get, because I'm not on, ideally I'd be on the halfway line, but I'm in line with the 18 yard box a little bit further back on the West Ham, right?
Yeah.
But you see, you can watch that whole defensive line in the first half, because I know invariably we're attacking the shed end, right? In the first half, but you get to see it, and then obviously in the second half you get to see the attacking side, and that's why, again, look,
oh no, I get it, I have sat there like loads, I was in
but so what, maybe this is why it's I've a different got the view, view. Of Chilwell that view, I've got yeah. I don't know, or could be unbiased, yeah. Probably a bit of both, but when you watch Chilwell and you see him working the flank and you can just watch him, and sometimes the ball's on the other side of the pitch and I'm watching what he's doing, and even at the weekend, like watching Ben White, it's what I was saying about how Mudryk tore him a new one.
Yeah,
that guy did not know where to go.
Yeah,
and he was going inside, and then Saliba would be telling him get outside, and he was like, just don't know where to go, and he was caught in no man's land.
This is it. I think watching football from different sections of the stadium, like your seats was, so I sat at the Brighton game in the cup. You do see the game differently than even for me. Like I just over the past 3 years, just since I did Imperial Wharf. Like, I know it's not, obviously not the same level, but like you appreciate how much goes into running football and doing the coaching and making sure everything's sorted and understand the politics and all that sort of stuff. My whole outlook on how I watch football has changed so much just because I've been doing that sort of stuff for other clubs and stuff as well. But like, just you appreciate it so much more. Like those sort of things where I think it's very different. Like I've never been really been that tribal anyway, but now before I become tribal, obviously if I'm playing Arsenal, I want to beat them, that sort of thing. But I like to analyse the game before I even try and start giving it. And I think, you know, it's just like football itself, like being at stadiums. Or
I kind of love that aspect.
Watch it differently. I enjoy the tribalism,
like,
but it's like there's, I enjoy when it's gentle ribbing. I think when it just starts getting, well, we've got a gold one, what have you got? I can't be bothered
with that sort of shit. Silly kid arguments.
If it's tribal, it's like little nudges here and there, it's different. We'll have to see. But we haven't got that with Brentford, so we'll have to see.
Well, Brentford have it with us, sort of thing. Like, I've it's never a bit got like that. When we play QPR, and for them it's a cup final, for us it's Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll have to see. But anyway, guys, that has been your preview of Chelsea versus Brentford. It's been a good chat.
That was interesting.
We talked about different things. Gary helped give the full Echo experience. That's what it is of the previews, mate. It's just barely chat about the game, chat about loads of other different things. Let us know your favourite pizza spots in New York. That'd be great. And across the US, if you're a US listener. Gary, people are going to ask, what's going on with the blueprint? Come on, talk to us. When are we going to get these next two episodes? What's going on?
They're coming out soon.
They're coming out soon. There you go. They're still there. He is working hard, to be fair. We
have some more coming after that, don't worry.
He's been fortunate enough to know Gary very well, and us working with him, we can say comfortably that the stuff he's working on is unbelievable.
Oh,
and
thanks, Louis. Enjoy it. What do you think, Tobes?
It's fucking class, mate.
It is fucking class. So he Gary's
the bollocks.
He works his bollocks off.
He's like the opposite version of Italian food. He's not overrated.
Not pretentious.
Exactly. He's just class.
Good Italian food is not pretentious, but you know, that's another conversation for another day. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. This has been a Highway 61 Network production. Find us on all our socials, which is the Chelsea Echo. If you're on Instagram, it's ChelseaEcho_. And we will see you for your Premier League spoilers. And after that, your review. Take care. We'll see you later.